You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, Vic Carucci in the Dog Bowl in Berea on a quarterback change. Wednesday, Jason Campbell will be the starting quarterback. And Vic, this is the second time in the last 4 years that the Browns will start three different quarterbacks in the first 8 weeks of the NFL season.
That explains a lot.
It does explain a lot. Yes, it does. Wow. We're going to get some barks from the Dog Pound now. 216-578-0850. Phil in Cleveland, welcome to CBD.
Hey, look, guys, I got to tell you something. Campbell's not going to be any worse than Whedon was. I mean, we still have receivers out there catching. Obanaya's good. Little can't catch a ball. Little can never catch a ball. He catches two or three, and everybody makes him a star.
He has the worst catch rate of the 50 most targeted receivers in the National Football League at 39.2%.
So I guess I'm not that far off, am I?
No.
No. So why don't we get rid of him? I mean, Campbell's, I mean, look, you know, we only went through so many quarterbacks because one got hurt. We wouldn't even be in the situation if we wouldn't hurt his knee. So
yeah, the Hoyer injury certainly is unfortunate, but I don't think anybody was going into the season thinking Brian Hoyer was going to come in and be the savior,
either,
and fortunately he was.
I was still wishing that we wouldn't have Brian Weed in the beginning. I think he was a bad pick from the start.
Yeah. I think that is becoming a consensus.
It's now a consensus. It's now official, at least in the eyes of this coaching staff. Now, it doesn't mean, I don't think it necessarily means that he doesn't find life as a quarterback somewhere else, but it will be somewhere else. You know, maybe there's a right situation. In such a quarterback-strapped league, someone's going to give this guy a shot somewhere.
He just didn't fit in the Cleveland program, which a lot of quarterbacks don't fit in the Cleveland program. I'm not sure if the program in Cleveland fits.
Well, that's another topic, is to see. I'm willing to at least see how this plays out with the offense that Rob Jedzinski, Norv Turner put together, the play calling that Norv does with the right guy that fits it, with the right player. What we saw all along was whether they could take Whedon, who definitely was a square peg round hole fit in the Pat Shurmur scheme, and to see if they could get more from him in this offense. He was a better fit in terms of his playing style.
This was the right offense for him.
The physical prototype, the more shotgun, all the spread stuff, all of that fit his profile.
Yes.
But you also got to have a little talent to go along with it. A lot more talent than he's displayed in more ways than just physical.
And I think it's the quarterback position requires everything of you. You need to not only have the physical talent, you need to not only have the arm, you need to not only be accurate, you need to have the mental capacity. And if you don't have all of them, you cannot succeed for any extended period of time. That's why it's so hard. And I think when you watch the NFL right now, people, it is becoming more and more clear how important it is to have that one quarterback, because when the teams that don't have them, it's an abomination right now how they are performing. And you can see it on every Sunday. If you watch that Monday night game, Josh Freeman and Eli Manning, and Eli Manning's won two Super Bowls, he's struggling. His offensive line is struggling. He's struggling. Josh Freeman was out there and had one of the ugliest performances in the history of the game, the lowest completion percentage of this entire year, 20 of 53. Teams without quarterbacks are not getting it done. It's becoming more and more apparent. And at least I feel with Jason Campbell, you're getting a guy who can at least manage the game. I don't think Jason Campbell is going to go out there and do Matt Stafford, Aaron Rodgers things, but at least he can manage the game, and that'll keep the Browns in games and give them an opportunity to win some in the fourth quarter.
Game management does work. If you've got some other pieces, a strong defense.
Check.
Okay. And I think
we believe
has that, we believe. And if you have a strong running game, not checked, but if we're talking about this week's opponent, why Kansas City is 7-0, really good game manager in Alex Smith, a defense that's doing a tremendous job, especially pressuring the quarterback, and a guy named Jabal Charles who can run the ball, catch the ball. Let us go to Jeff in his car. Hey, Jeff.
Chris and Nate, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I understand all the quarterback controversy. That's why I'm running away from it as fast as I can, because if we had a good running game, a lot of this would be solved anyway. My question is about Ray Horton. He trains under Dick LeBeau. You would think, coming from the home of Blitzburg, that we would be putting more pressure on the quarterback if we're going to go to these man-to-man coverages in the secondary. Instead, we're not getting a lot of pressure, and they're not going to a cover two. So I don't understand why we're not trying to create more turnover opportunities on the defense and kind of letting the guys on D create some opportunities for the offense. I appreciate your time and any kind of comments.
They are blitzing. I think the last couple of weeks it's been ineffective. I think that's been a little bit of the problem. They are trying to get to the quarterback. They have not done it as successfully the last few weeks as they have earlier. I would also say to you, the Cleveland Browns right now ranked 7th in the NFL with 20 sacks. So they have, on the body of the season, been good at getting to the quarterback.
Most of it early on,
right.
But yeah.
But yes, the last few weeks they played teams, by the way, with quarterbacks and Matt Stafford and Aaron Rodgers who can get the ball out quickly and identify mismatches quickly. And the last few weeks, the blitz beater has been Craig Robertson. They found who Craig Robertson's covering, whether it be Reggie Bush, JerMichael Finley, and they've gotten the ball out quickly and made plays.
It isn't this simple. But Paul Kruger clearly missed Jabal Sheard during the course of those games. And here's what I say. Through six games, Paul Kruger, one sack. The one game that Sheard plays, he gets at least a half a sack. So a coincidence, I think not, that he got something, got a little bit. Kruger didn't have a great game. Nobody on defense had a great game against Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. But I think there's a lot to be said for the complimentary presence that Sheard brings, and that was his first game back from a knee injury. I suspect and believe things will be better in this game as the rotation of Sheard, Kruger, Mingo gets into play. We'll see. Quentin Groves did not practice today. Has the ankle injury, so we'll see where that goes. But Billy Winn, if he comes back from that quad injury, that's another plus for the front seven. Phil in Brecksville joins us now. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. You know, the question for me all year with the quarterback hasn't been what's wrong with Brandon Reeden. It's what happened to Jason Campbell. You know, I remember that game in Oakland, and I think we all do. You know, I remember that the Oakland Raiders were like 4-1. They were talking about Jason Campbell finally being in that top 15 or quarterbacks, maybe even into the upper, you know, maybe from 15 to 10.
2011,
He broke his leg, and that was it. You know, what happened? I watched preseason. You know, people, you know, even the media says they're with a quarterback competition. You know, the ones played against the ones, the twos played against the twos. There was no competition for anybody that was there. Everybody knew that, you know, this is what it was. They were going with and that was it. I'm going to be real interested to see if Jason Campbell has the fire to play anymore. I honestly don't know if he does anymore. I don't know if he's happy to just be a backup making $1 million, or if he really has the fire in his belly to play. So
yeah,
I see what your comments are.
That is a fair assessment for a guy, again, who's been in the league 9 years and I'm sure was happy to end up with an opportunity to be somewhere, even as a backup. I would not go so far as to say I'm questioning his competitive fire or desire. If you lack that, then you shouldn't even be a backup. Being a backup means you are a heartbeat away, one snap away, and he's been around long enough to understand exactly what that means. Now, could he have undergone some change from the hit, the broken clavicle, whatever it was, in that game against the Browns in Oakland? And I was there, and I remember that distinctly. And did that leave some kind of a resonating mark on him and change his view of playing the position? If that's the case, then I don't think you bring a guy like that on your football team. I mean, he was assessed thoroughly by this personnel department. There was a reason they signed him. If they sign him with any thought of trepidation and the thoughts that you're expressing, it's not exactly something that you're just pulling out of the sky, that people have those thoughts about a lot of quarterbacks and the notes that personnel people have, et cetera, could have come into play. But I would hasten to add that I think the guy with this opportunity,
wants to
at least show that, hey, I'm still here and I've got something.
And I can still make some money after the season with a strong showing. No question. Makes very good sense. We will be back for hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Coming up in the second hour, Sam Mellinger from the Kansas City Star stops by along with Gerard Sherry. So lots of good stuff as we talk about the quarterback change, what it means for the Browns. To hit some barks from the dog pound at 216-578-0850. Your tweets at Browns_daily. And take a look ahead to week 8, Browns Chiefs Arrowhead Stadium, when we return on CBD, driven by Liberty Ford.